Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside Hour 2, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Hi, buddy.
4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Saints are driving. It is a 10-10 game in the rain in Seattle. And if you had the under, congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
If you somehow had the under for Geno Smith passing yards, wow. First play of the game, he hits DK Metcalf for an 84-yard touchdown. Right, I just looked it up. The over-under for Geno Smith passing yards was 207. Right, so you're thinking, wow, first play of the game, 84 yards, DK Metcalf. Oh, I'm getting the over. Nope. He's 167 yards passing. 167 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Well, DK Metcalf finally caught that second pass. So he's up to 2 for 96. Tyler Lockett just 2 for 12. Conversely, you know, it was funny watching a little bit before we came on air of the Manning cast they had Tom Brady with. And I didn't get to hear all of it, but I saw one section where Kamara scored his receiving touchdown. And they flashed up the graphic. Yeah, Kamara now has 8 catches, 109 yards with that score. And Brady just deadpanned something to the effect of, yeah, kind of got to key that guy, don't you? You know, like, because there's been nothing else. He's got 10 catches, 128 and a score. And the Saints on this drive, moving the ball, they were 1 of 10 on third downs. And then they hand the ball to Kamara. He runs for 12 yards. He's the only guy you have to do anything to. And to that point, he had had 18 carries for 41 yards. He got the 12 they needed. Okay, fine. Then they run a play for 4 yards, and then Traquan Smith absolutely trucks the defensive back to get called for offensive pass interference and give it back. It's like, what are we doing? This is a miserable game.
Traquan Smith, this is his first game back, too, and he dropped 2 passes that could have been touchdowns in the first half. And here he is now with an OPI that could knock him out of field goal range. Ugh. This game is destined to end in a tie. Like, if this game ends in a tie, we all deserve it. Like, all of us need to sit around in a circle, look at each other, and go, you know what? We deserve this mediocre football game on Monday night in the rain where nobody could score. We deserve all of this. We deserve this.
Yeah, it's not good for anybody. No. I mean, that's really, and, oh, you know, boy. To take the Kramer line all those years. Yeah, you say, oh, that's not going to be good for business. And Seinfeld, that's not going to be good for anybody. But yeah,
always ask yourself, is this good for the company? This is where we sit right now. Again, 10-10, still a bunch of time left, still about 4 minutes left to go in this game. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report, limitations, they do apply. Well, we have more NFL coming up throughout the look. We got more Monday, I told you so. Oh my goodness, I can't. Wait, I had Sam Darnold now coming up. I got the 49ers coming here. I got the Chiefs. Oh, we got a big day. But today is the 35th anniversary, as we are on the eve of Game 1 of the World Series tomorrow night, of what at this point you have to say is the most famous play in baseball history. You know, there's lots of big moments baseball that you've seen 100 times, but as time has gone on and where we sit right now here in 2021, it was 35 years ago today that this happened.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the back. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it. If one picture is worth 1,000 words, you have seen about 1,000,000 words. But more than that, you have seen an absolutely bizarre finish to Game 6 of the 1986 World Series.
And just like he's done throughout his career, Vince Scully absolutely nails it. I mean, this is 35 years ago, and behind the bag is still, yeah, Mets fans just got each other and go, behind the bag, behind the bag, behind the bag, behind the bag. At this point, we've had a lot of famous plays in baseball history, right? Kirk Gibson's home run, Bobby Thompson's home run. There's so many. This play is just different. It's the most recognizable play. It's when you see it, you know exactly what you're going to see. The mileage off of this play, the fact that it's still part of conversations. It's still, look, they're still doing a 30 for 30 on the 86 Mets, right? Not doing a 30 for 30 on the 88 Dodgers and Gibson's home run. Gibson's home run is a big deal. This play is just different, and you can see the staying power that it has because of the backstory to it, right? Let's compare it, because you had that in the Gibson home run, which, my God, 2 years apart, which is really big. But you had this play that gives you so many avenues, and Bill Buckner's life, what it was like after, and how, look, he died very young. He was a guy that took a lot of things and pills to even play in Major League Baseball, painkillers. And I remember reading the book about the 86 Mets where he said, I don't know what the rest of my life is going to be like, but I got to keep playing. And, that was a stunning thing to read about Buckner and his love for the game and everything that went along with it and what goes on in the 86 Mets being such a big team, historically. But this play, really, there is nothing else like it, because it's all the best and the most heartbreaking parts of Major League Baseball when you're at it. The Mets were the bad guys. The Red Sox had won a World Series in over 75 years. This was it. This is breaking the curse of the Bambino. They had to wait a few more years for it, but this had everything. And I more look back at it, it's not just a big anniversary. It's the most famous play in baseball history.
Yeah, you go through the lexicon of, you got three plays that would be on the medal stand of the last 30 years, right? And two of them really shouldn't be remembered as the worst because there were game sevens. Of course, I refer to Steve Bartman as the third play in this holy triumvirate, as it were. And blame Calvin Schiraldi, as much as anything else.
Oh, yeah.
But, it became this iconic play. A guy who was a pretty steady first baseman in the field, obviously older and not moving as well, but a professional hitter. All the things this guy did in his career all summarized in this play. Like we talk about all the time, right? All the good that you do, wherever it is, can get erased just like that. The Thanos snap of the finger, right? You can dominate whatever game you're playing, whatever game your kid's playing, and one 15-second play that they miss erases all that good work. Likewise for Bill Buckner, a fantastic career all those years, Dodgers, Cubs, into the Red Sox, and there it is, forever linked. He at least made some money off it. It doesn't help the psychological pain and certainly the derision and everything else that went with it. No question about that. But it is one of those iconic plays. And again, there was a game seven.
and here's the other part of this play that gains a lot of attention, right? Mookie Wilson wrote a book a few years ago, and there's always been the question of, if Buckner makes the play, Mookie says, I probably would have beat him to the bag. Right. So I probably would have been. Here's Mookie saying, hey, I probably would have been even more of a hero because I would have got to the bag. And it's probably up in the air if he could have got there. Like, Buckner's the kind of player that would dive head first to first base to try to make that play if he gets the grounder. Right. But could Mookie be in the bag? And I think everybody is missing the point of that play. If Mookie Wilson gets to first base, the Mets have first and third with two out. Like, Ray Knight is not scoring around third base.
There's still another pitch. There's still another play. Yes.
There's another batter coming. If Ray Knight had...
Look, if Ray Knight is getting sent around third, we got a whole other conversation happening here.
If it was a speedster at second base, right, that was rounding third and saw the play at first and Buckner has to dive and he's off, then maybe, okay, hey, I'm aggressive and I try to get home. But if Mookie Wilson beats Buckner to the bag, it's first and third. And Mookie Wilson is not famous.
It's just another play. Oh, he beat him to the bag. Okay.
No one's writing book. Mookie Wilson, no one cares about his book outside of New York. And Bill Buckner.
Well, he doesn't get to write a book.
Well, no, he could write one. All Mets fans would buy it because it's Mookie. It's part of the 86 Mets.
But the point is, if that play didn't happen, you don't know what the end result is, which is what I thought you were leading it to. Instead, you still assume the victory.
But, if they we don't know, right? But look, 86 Mets are still the 86 Mets, right? Buckner doesn't.
But they wouldn't have been the 86 Mets if they don't win the damn series.
But they still, well, it was either them or the Red Sox that
good
were winning.
God, man.
It was either them or the
right.
Red Sox that
so
were winning.
Right. So what? He's going to write a book. Needing consolation because they were the losing team in the World Series.
Why can't Mookie Wilson write a book? Why couldn't he write a book? Why couldn't he write? Anybody's allowed to write a book. Lenny Dykstra's written about 11 books.
Look, he just celebrated however many weeks without an arrest.
Hey, 41 weeks without an arrest for Lenny Dykstra. Hey, congratulations.
I like that he's, you know, you got to commemorate your milestones. Find your wins where you can.
But that's the thing, is that it would have been, it wouldn't have been a famous play. And who knows how it goes from there. Look, the Mets had already tied the game. So at worst, it's, you know, for the Red Sox, it's, all right, well, maybe we go to extra innings again. Who knows? But the damage, that damage had been done. But it's not like Mookie gets to first base and suddenly, oh, it's an infield hit. And Ray Knight scores, and Mookie's an even bigger hero. Hey, I got the infield hit instead of I hit the ball that went under Buckner's leg.
0-90. You know, my story, Mookie Wilson.
90 feet from glory, Mookie Wilson. I mean, that's really the, you know, if you really want to outline it and say, hey, even if he does beat Buckner to the bag, that's the situation. There's first and third, two outs. And Buckner, and here's the thing, Buckner does not become the scourge of the. Now, what would happen then would be, let's say Buckner doesn't beat Wilson to the bag. Let's say the Mets get a hit, they win the game. Then it would be, how does John McNamara really not pull him for Dave Stapleton, who is a better first baseman, and they wanted to leave Buckner out there because they were going to win the World Series, want him to celebrate on the field. Then it would have been even more of, why is your best defensive first baseman not in the game? But it wouldn't have been on Buckner. It would have been, oh, the guy, you know, they hit it to him. Right. What could he do? We got the ball. He couldn't get to the bag in time because he wasn't fast. So that would have been the storyline, and it would have just been one of many storylines in the World Series. If only this had happened. If only this had happened. But the play is because it went, you know, it went through Buckner's legs. If Buckner makes the play, it's just another play in the World Series that people have forgotten over many years. And who knows what happens after that? But that's what people forget. It's like, oh yeah, Mookie could have beat it out, and what? And then Ray Knight just still tries to get. Ray Knight is rounding third base with his hands on his helmet, leaping in the air because the ball gets by Bill Buckner. He's got plenty of time to get home. He's not rounding third base going, I'm getting home, man. You watch. I'm a hero. No, he's holding his helmet, leaping in the air like he's in a meadow and there's flowers everywhere. Yeah, so that, you know, every time you hear something like that, understand that that's the outcome if Mookie Wilson does beat him to the bag.
Yeah, the other side, you know, because obviously we're getting texts from Frostburg, Bershinger's looking at me with daggers. You know, Kirk Gibson's home run was great, and obviously Vin Scully's call of Kirk Gibson's home run is great. It was game one, people. Right? I mean, you could say, hey, it shattered psyches and all this other stuff. It's game one. So let's just calm down.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Look, it is that big a deal, right? You talk about the most famous plays in baseball history. We got really lucky that two of them happened within a couple of years.
Sure.
Because Gibson's on that list. The Bobby Thompson home run.
Oh,
is
no,
big.
They're huge. Yeah.
You know, they're big, but nothing like the Buckner play. There is absolutely nothing like the Buckner play.
Was it funny, though, that given the context, you know, where we're at here, 2021, that we have a Mookie Betts playing for the Dodgers, and I hear Vin Scully's voice, my brain immediately said, no, he got his surname wrong.
Behind the bag, Mookie Betts, behind the bag. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Right now, Saints and the Seahawks, it is 13-10 late in the fourth quarter. The Saints have the lead over Seattle. Now, again, there's 2 minutes to go. Geno Smith will get the football. Look out. Look out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio. It is over in Seattle. The Jets first round draft pick moves up a little bit more. The Seahawks fall to 2-4. They are 0-3 at home now this season as they lose to New Orleans 13-10. The final possession for the Seahawks. Geno Smith gets sacked on third down, and shockingly, they do not convert a 4th-and-28, which really I thought it was there. I mean, it's Geno Smith. And so the Saints win a really ugly game, dropping the Seahawks to 2-5. And look, let's be honest here for a second. First of all, forget that the Jets drafted both Sam Darnold and Geno Smith to be their quarterbacks. Right? Forget about that for a second, just because that's, you know, that's like the ancillary fun part of this. The Seahawks season is over. All right, here they are at 2-5, and the next 3 weeks they can get out of, without Russell Wilson, 3-7 at best. Because they had the Jaguars coming up, and it's the Jaguars, you never know. But the next two games after that are going to be impossible for the Seahawks. Because, again, even if Russell Wilson does come back and they play Green Bay in a game in 3 weeks, is that really going to be enough, right? They got the I'm sorry, when we play the Cardinals in 3 weeks. Is that really going to be enough? The Cardinals are the best team in football right now. It's Jaguars next week. Then it's at the Packers. Then it's home for the Cardinals. They may lose to the Jags. All right, so it's not suddenly, hey, we got the Jags, we're good, we're getting
Jaguars up. Coming no. off a bye week.
Yes,
win.
Listen, Urban Meyer has a lot of chance to go to bars, off a bye week, so you never know if he's going to.
Oh, come on, that's cheap. Cheap, tawdry joke right there, Smith. How dare you? We're a highbrow operation around here. How dare you try to take our class status down?
But you are talking about the Jaguars, the Packers, and the Cardinals. At best, you're getting out of that with one win. And so now you're sitting at 3-7, and you will probably be, six games behind Arizona at that point? Probably 5 or 6 games behind the Rams. The division is too tough, and you have games with the Rams and the Cardinals coming up again later on in the season. It's just not your year. It's just not happening. And this era of the Seahawks, where we've seen excellence from them all throughout since 2012, since Russell Wilson became the quarterback, guess what? Russell Wilson gets hurt, and suddenly here go the Seahawks down the tubes without him. But that's it. I mean, tonight you can say this was the night the Seahawks season ended. Because if they had gotten a win tonight to go to 3-4, okay, we get one more win. We beat the Jaguars. We're 4-4. Then you lose. All right, you're 4-6. You're still somewhat in it. But you're looking at 3-7 as the best case scenario. It's done. The Seahawks season is done right now.
Well, biggest thing is you're looking up at two teams in the division, right? The Rams got tested, but they escaped. Still thought Ramsey got there early, but that's just me. Jared Goff throws the interception. They tack on a field goal. Rams survive, succeed, and proceed. And Arizona's just been fantastic. Just both sides of the ball. You see what they're doing, what Vance Joseph has done with that defense, and J.J. Watt still has some left in him. Buda Baker's been fantastic. Actually, 1 year ago tonight, right, he made his presence known because we had those, D.K. Metcalf flying down the field to catch him, if you remember that play. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're still thinking about 1986. I'm not sure. But when we look at this Seahawks squad, I mean, you're looking up at two teams that show no signs of slowing down. The Rams, yes, they were tested, but week to week, little things in that offense get a bit better for Arizona. They can go drop a game or two. I mean, Thursday, at least as it sets up, you've got a gift that Davante Adams may not be available to play. Right on the COVID list, and you start going down the list of receivers, it basically becomes Aaron, right? It's just Jones and Aaron Rodgers, because the next leading receiver after Aaron Jones, you want to take a guess?
Bob Hope?
Nicely done.
You like that?
No. Last check, he's still not with us anymore. but Tonyan and Alan Lazard, both at 15 receptions. So no Davante Adams changes that one. So let's chalk up a win for the Arizona Cardinals there. Let's start prognosticating to week 8, shall we? But you're looking up, and the 49ers, we'll get to them in a minute. They've got, between injuries, ineffectiveness, they've got everything. They got a nice swirling mess, as it were, and including that big loss last night to the Colts on Sunday Night Football that everybody got to watch in live and in living color, all the problems that they've got there. So you're chasing. You're 0-3 for the first time at home since, I think I saw that right, was it 1992?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, so you had that, and you had the Patriots that really wanted to beat up on your Jets because they'd been winless at home. It's just a topsy-turvy world here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and listen, not in a Jim Broadbent cool kind of goofy movie kind of way. There's a reference for you people. Jim Broadbent, Slughorn, getting after it.
Now, look, this is the other part of this now, which is the next part of this conversation. Because, look, the Seahawks season is over, but the drama is just beginning. So, listen, if you're losing on the field, as long as you provide drama, that's a great thing. Because what are we now seeing? In the offseason, How upset was Russell Wilson with the team? You're not listening to me. I want my impact heard more. I want changes. I want X, Y, and Z, or I'm gone. And what did the Seahawks do? They just waited him out, and they brought in an offensive coordinator that you didn't know if it was going to work. Hey, but it worked okay, right? And Russell Wilson had a phenomenal start to the season before he got hurt. But now here you are without him, and you are losing. This now makes Russell Wilson the most powerful person in the Seahawks organization. He has a bargaining position that is now unmatched. And whatever he wants, you have to do. Because if he wants out and he sits and says, I want to go and I'm sitting out and you're going to trade me someplace, you're screwed. You are absolutely screwed. So this went from Schneider and Pete Carroll, listen, we're going to make the moves here and we're doing this. And okay, Russ, you could say what you want, but we're not going to listen to you. Now suddenly it's, oh crap, we're in a lot of trouble. And the more time goes on, watch the more Pete Carroll's name is going to be linked to other coaching jobs, because if it gets to the end of the season, Russell's going to go, ha-ha, yeah, I want changes now. I want somebody else. I want somebody to come in who's going to do things my way and is going to give me the ball and is going to listen to me. Right? I want to do it here. This is my time. I want to have this voice here. I'll go someplace else if I want to. Pete Carroll clearly was not going to do that with Russell Wilson. So now Pete Carroll is losing all the mojo, all the decision-making, and it's all going to Russell Wilson. Because the more they lose, the more they realize how they can't get along without him, and that balance of power is going to flip to him. What? Trust me. Pete Carroll, listen to all the different rumors that you're going to hear. He'll be linked to going back to USC.
Well, he already tried to link himself to that.
Just watch. Pete Carroll, someplace other than Seattle, is going to start to be a very popular thing, because he knows, oh man, I can't just suddenly become friends with Russell Wilson again. And it's going to work and it's going to be great. Everybody remembers last offseason. Now Russell Wilson's walking around going, see, you need me way more than you thought. Just watch. Trust me.
Allegedly even had a short list. He never said anything publicly either. Although it was fun to see him kind of get mocked for doing nothing but looking at his phone for 2 hours watching the Kraken the other day. Like literally, they just had video. He never looked up. Like, all right then. And look, to his defense, tepidly as I do it, they may have been at intermission when someone decided to take that footage. But either way, the point being that, yes, he does have the power, and at least to make it uncomfortable. As a team, you can still say beat it and see how far that goes. But we've seen Pete Carroll leave a sinking ship before, and if he realizes that the world has gone asunder, and watching this game tonight, right, the fact that you're not at least trying to throw the ball up to DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett to get them involved down the field is just a clown show, because Alex Collins couldn't run. Right, they had nothing going and looked, and maybe it was still raining, but at least on my crystal clear monitor here in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it looked like it cleaned up weather-wise, that you should have been able to, you know, drive into a ball when you weren't getting driven into the turf like Geno Smith was on a number of plays in the second half. But, it just curious game plans. But, yeah, Pete Carroll has bailed before. He did it before all the sanctions hit at USC. And right now, if he thinks the road is really going to get bumpier than it is right now, then, yeah, I would look for him to bail. The other thing is maybe he does the mea culpa, hits the prayer pose, and starts saying, Russell, please don't leave me. Singing the Pink song. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Please don't leave me, because I was wrong. We can't do anything without you.
But is he going to be okay not being the voice in the organ? It's been his show. Since he showed up, it's been Pete Carroll's show. And he elevated Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russell, as what happens with every coach and quarterback have been together for a long time, there eventually becomes friction and you don't know what their relationship is like. It's not just Brady and Belichick, but it's Aaron Rodgers, McCarthy, all these different things. And now McCarthy, LaFleur, it just happens. It's just a natural thing. And is Pete Carroll really going to stay if he's not Pete Carroll anymore? Because if it's Russell Wilson saying, I want to do X, Y, and Z, Pete Carroll's going to go, you know, I got a pretty good reputation. I got a few years. I'm older, but I got a young body and I'm still moving around great, and I've got a lot of energy. He can ride his ticket anywhere else in the NFL he wants to go to. And so if it's a case of I can come back, but I'm you know, Russell's making all the moves and he's really the GM of the team, yeah, I'll go someplace else. Yeah, that's the big thing with Pete Carroll.
Yeah, but does he get to take Earl and Richard and Cam and Bennett and all those guys with him. That sure as hell helped back in the day now, didn't it? All of a sudden, there's no boom in the Legion of Boom, and this is what we get.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show, with my best friend. You know his name is Mike Harmon.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So there's where we're at with the Seahawks, right? Clear. Russell Wilson has so much more cachet with the organization. Pete Carroll just watched. Pete Carroll's going to go, man, the balance of power has shifted now. Look what happened. Meanwhile, for the Saints, I mean, there is no more maddening team in the NFL than New Orleans. How good are they, right? They thumped the Packers in week one. You're like, whoa, they're good. Then they lose 26-7 to the Panthers. We know the Panthers stink. They beat the Patriots, but the Patriots really only have two wins over the Jets to tell you how good they are. Then they lose to the Giants, who were terrible. Okay, they beat Washington. Washington's terrible. They beat the Seahawks. The Seahawks are terrible. It's like this team is 4-2, but they stink. I mean, really, I mean, they're 4-2, but they stink. They're not good. I mean, look, next week they have Tampa Bay, which is probably going to be, you know, coming back down to earth. They got the Titans coming up after that. They got games against the Bills and the Cowboys. They're entertaining. You know, obviously tonight was tough in the rain, but I'm sorry. I'm not believing in the Saints, even though they're 4-2. I just can't.
Got to go find a second guy. I mean, they got more activity out of their back seven today than they've had for much of the season in terms of big playmaking. And well, we've just talked about the Seahawks and all their deficiencies, so I don't know what that gets you. But as Parcells said, right, you're going to hear it a lot over the next couple of weeks as we try to figure out the second half of the season. You are what your record is. Take the win and advance. You know, when you've got something on the schedule that's soft, go and get your W. Now they've got the Buccaneers. Michael Thomas ain't coming back next week, I don't think. And even if he did, is he happy? Does he want to be back? There's still some issues going on there, but they need him. Like, they have one playmaker right now, Alvin Kamara. You go through the roster of guys that made plays today, and again, it's a rain-soaked field there in Seattle, some difficult conditions, so hang a star on it to a degree, but Kamara with 10 catches, 128 and a score, 11 targets. And then you had Troutman, 3-for-36. He had a fumble, if I'm remembering correctly as well, right? As he got dumped, he lost the ball going down to the ground. So one, he accounted for a turnover. So a net negative for him on the day. Marquez Callaway, 3-for-32, 7 targets. Not a consistent deep threat. Traquan Smith, as you mentioned, a couple of drops and one catch, 11 yards. That offensive pass interference, one of the weird sequences as they finally got the field goal at the end of all that because the Seahawks went off sides, and there would have been an earlier field goal attempt and would have put 2 minutes back on the clock, but we move on. You got Kevin White got into the game. Remember Kevin White?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right, two targets for him. Kenny Stills, 0-for-3. Juwan Johnson, the other tight end, one catch, 8 yards. They don't have another discernible playmaker outside of Alvin Kamara.
Marcus Colston got in the game tonight.
He might, you know what? They might as well have taken his number out of their ring of honor or whatever they've done there in New Orleans, just said, get back on the field.
Lance Moore played a couple of plays.
Wow, and Lance Moore.
Yeah.
He had a good run until he got hurt a bunch.
Oh, yeah. No, they had lots.
Devery Henderson? Did you just? Oh, going back to the 2004 draft class.
Oh, yeah, I gave you Devery Henderson.
Now, I had a bunch of those rookie cards. Why? Because I'd gotten a – well, I mean, it was a good year to buy cards, right? Because you had Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, it was a good year for rookies.
But I
and then I got
you,
Devery Henderson all the time.
You know, you talk about, and we mentioned how great certain things are in the NFL positions, how for years that the Saints have been able to make weapons out of guy, anybody they threw out there, right? Now you're seeing, oh, maybe a lot of it was Drew Brees, because this is a horrendous wide receiver group. I mean, I don't know that there's a worse group of wide receivers in the NFL than the Saints. You watch tonight, Traquan Smith dropping passes, Jameis Winston screaming at his guys. And I can't blame – he's yelling at guys, line up right. You know, they're not lined up right. I mean, really, I don't know that there's a worse group of wide receivers in the NFL than what's going on right now in New Orleans. And the thing is that Winston's been okay enough. If he had some kind of support behind him, he might be having a really big year. But his wide receivers – all stink. And he's not someone that is going to make everybody better, but he's a quarterback that certainly, with good weapons around him, he can succeed, right? Because he's got escapability, he can throw the ball deep. You know, we've seen that from him, right? We know he can be a dynamic player, but he needs some help, and he's got none. I mean, these wide receivers, they're all terrible. You know, so now you go back, you'll look like all these guys. Well, Devery Henderson and Lance Moore and Colson, boy, they were good. Jimmy Graham, oh, remember what happened when he got traded?
Jimmy.
He wasn't good anymore. Oh, maybe it was all Drew Brees. Okay, now I get it. Now, yeah, I mean, it's the worst group of wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, we should probably do a top five ranking.
Mm, wow.
We've been remiss in our rankings. I think on the network, we do less lists than anybody else, so I think we really need to play catch-up. So for the rest of this week and all through the holidays, we will do, well, you know what? We could pre-record too. You know, we could do that. We could just make a bunch of lists and then have people react. What do you think?
Oh, I like that. That's a good idea, buddy. I like that. I like that. Read and react. Yeah, we'll put a poll up.
Oh, yeah.
Put a poll in play. We'll get that there.
Top five 1986 Mets players. Go.
Okay, well, number one was Ray Knight. Number two is Gary Carter. Number three, or maybe number two was Keith Hernandez. Three was Gary Carter. Dwight Gooden, four. Maybe Gooden.
No, Keith Hernandez's
third.
Mustache was first.
Keith Hernandez. I'm Keith Hernandez. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next. Oh, I hate to say I told you so about a big story in the NFL, but we're ahead of the curve. We got it for you next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We'll have more on the big Seahawks defeat at the hands of the Saints coming up in a few minutes, but I hate to say I told you so, Mike Harmon. I hate to say it, but I kind of did.
It's going on your tombstone. Are you kidding me?
It was on. That would be the, if I ever write a book about my life, I would say, I hate to say I told you so. That would be the title of my book. I hate to say I told you so.
Okay. No, that's not bad. And then what is it? All just recaps of everything you said on the show?
Yes, everything.
Or everything you told your dad? Or I mean, like, what are you talking?
I hate to say I told you
so. Here's all the life lessons I gave Zoe as she was growing up. I hate to say I told you so. Remember that kid in third grade? I told you he was bad news, man.
It would, or maybe it would be Jason Smith was right. That would be the title. But I kind of like, I hate to say I told you so. But if you remember on September 20th, we told you, and again, I only say I told so you know we're ahead of the curve here, right? Certain things we can see when we're wrong about things, we say it, but it's not often. That it was going to be difficult for the Chiefs to make the playoffs, right? I said, for the first time, I can see a team like the Raiders winning the AFC West. I had the tweet. It's from September 20th, and now everybody's jumping on the, oh, yeah, I told you the Chiefs are in trouble. We told you a month ago, this was not a good football team. Their defense was terrible. They couldn't run the football like they were used to. They didn't have the weapons on offense, and they had to rely on Patrick Mahomes to win a shootout every single week, right? This is the same team offensively it's been for the last 3 years, except they have the worst group of skill position players that they've had in that time. You can shut this offense down. They still have not recovered from the Super Bowl, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers showed, oh, wait, if we can pressure you without having to blitz, we can cover Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Oh, okay, we can do that. We can put a guy over the top, and he's not just running free everywhere. Oh, we can do that. They still have not recovered from that. They are in trouble. It will be a tightrope walk to get to the playoffs as a wild card. It will be a big story that we cover all season long, and it's going to be, you don't want to let the Chiefs in because then Mahomes can get hot. This is not that kind of year for Kansas City. All right, they are just not a great football team. They're not as good as they were last year. They didn't get better. All they did in the offseason was plug the holes of the offensive line, which crushed them in the Super Bowl. But they are not a good football team, and you've seen that now. They got spanked by the Titans, who lost to the bleeping Jets 3 weeks ago.
I know, you were really trying to own that.
Really?
I'm feeling a lot better about my Titans to the Super Bowl pick that I made before the season, though. Even after that Jets game where I thought I was going to go and, you know, dig a hole like I was, what's my guy's name? Cousin, the summer me on Seinfeld when he had the van. That's kind of what I was feeling, like walking the beach going, wow, that's what might be the worst prediction ever. And now they come back strong.
But I will tell you this, transitive properties, Jets are better than the Titans, right? Jets are better than the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs. Titans who beat the Chiefs.
I guess so.
Jets are better than a lot of teams. Maybe it's not so bad they gave up 54 to New England. We beat the Titans.
You suddenly gave them that many more wins and better thans. The transitive property really getting worked in this. Look, Creed Humphrey is going to be a player for them on the offensive line, but they did have to go and retool massively this offseason. Still wondering why they haven't been checked in on Mitchell Schwartz to see if he's got anything left and wants to get back into the mix. But you've got Kelsey, you've got Tyreek Hill, and you've got a lot of hand-wringing. And Darrell Williams has been good in spurts, but Patrick Mahomes, you know, I do the Sunday show with Bucky Brooks. He just keeps saying he freelances. He's freelancing too much, taking too many chances, too many risks instead of living to see another day. And the overall numbers are there. But when you're giving up over 7 yards per play as a defense, then what else needs to be said? You're getting worked. Like right now, one of your top plays on the waiver wire is Daniel Jones because he gets his shot at this defense.
Twitter it out about a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome. We told you this is what was going to happen for the Chiefs, 100%, and here's where they are, right? It just happens that way. Twitter it how about a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show. My best friend, his name is Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we got more on Monday Night Football, the reaction of the Seahawks loss, plus more big stuff out of the National Football League. Fox.